Good morning, church family. Let's worship together.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met.
Let's go.
I was breathing the night. Alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my turn till I met you.
You call my name. guys can have a seat.
Thank you for being here with us to raise a hallelujah. Do you know what a hallelujah is? Hallelujah means God be praised. If you got a reason to praise God, I want you to raise a hallelujah with me on a count of three. One, two, three. Hallelujah. God be praised today. Amen. We're glad you're here. We want to welcome you in a minute. If you'll find a Connect card in the back of the chair in front of you or the QR code, that's for members and guests alike. We want to hear from everybody. Chance for you to register for Wednesday night meals, give us a prayer request, or maybe you just need to know more about a ministry going on at PCBC. You can do all of that through the Connect card. Hard cards there in the back of the chairs. You can put them in an offering tower at the end of the service, or you can do it online through digital media. So we are thrilled that you have come back the Sunday after Easter. That's awesome. We want to greet you and welcome you. So let's all get on our feet, move around the room, welcome somebody to PCBC. So we'll see.
All right, church family, if you'd make your way back to your seats, please stay standing. Please stay standing. We're about to move a little bit, hopefully. Hopefully we'll move a little bit here in just a moment. As we step into this time of prayer today, thinking about being connected to God's word. You know, I was just thinking about it as we were singing. We want to meet God, right? We want God to be here. And certainly God is present in his spirit, but if God is here, then we will take this seriously because God meets us in this room through his word. And if you want to hear from God today, then just listen to what Drew is going to talk about from God's word here in a few moments. You may not need to hear an audible voice because God's word is here to speak to us today. And in it is power and in it is life. God's word should be primary in our lives. We should hold it high. The scriptures say that the word of God is greater than silver and gold. It is treasure and it is eternal. It is one of the few things that is not temporal but eternal. God is here to speak to us this morning. We want to be connected to his word. We want that to guide our prayer time this morning. We put a few things on the screen that you can pray about this morning. God, let your word reveal areas of sinfulness. There may be things that you are blind to in your life, but God's word can help reveal those things. Ask God to use his word to do that in your life. Sin is bad for us. It is. It's like sugar. It tastes good, but man, it destroys, right? Some of you didn't want to hear that, but it destroys. And we need God to help us see where those areas of our life are. God, let your word overcome hard hearts. Where are you hard-hearted? And where can God's word start to soften that so that we can start to be obedient and receptive to what he wants? God, let your word fill us with life. As we sit under the authority of his word this morning, that God would fill us with life and that we would breathe. Maybe we feel like we're suffocating in our daily routine and our lives and everything else going on. And in this morning, we have a chance to come and open his word together and breathe. and live. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I would ask some of you to just come up here and bow at the altar. I would ask some of you maybe to find a chair just separate from where you're at and just find a private spot where you can kneel before God. Let's move. Let's fill this room and let's seek the Lord and ask Him to use His word mightily in our lives this morning. God, we are in such ever-present, ever-constant, desperate need of your guidance every moment of our day and our lives. We need you even more than we realize that we do. And God, you have given us access, not simply through your Spirit, but through your word. You come to us and you meet us and you give us the daily bread that we need. And God, I pray and I pray this not just for me and any one person, but for us. And God, I pray that our hearts would be unified and united as I voice these prayers, that we would be in agreement in this place today that God, there is still sin in our hearts needs to be redeemed and that we need to be fixed from. And we need you today. We need you today to transform. We need you today to renew our hearts. We need you today to cause us to take that step of obedience and to repent. We need you to soften what's hard. God, I pray that this morning you would do that. I pray that your word would be living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and that it would breathe life and transformation into us in this place. God, we submit to you. We submit to your word. We come under its authority in this place today. We pray that you would work through it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Stand with me, if you will, as Alex and the band continue to lead us in song.
The goodness. I labor on in weakness and rejoice.
pray together. Lord Jesus, we are just blessed to be in your presence today, Lord. We lift your name high above all other names. We give you all of the glory that we have to offer, Lord. You sit upon the highest throne, and yet you still reach out and love us, those who turned away from you, Lord. Help us to realize our need for you. Help us to realize our complete and utter dependency upon you, not just in our day-to-day, Lord, but ultimately for our salvation, so we can be with you once again. Thank you for paving the way, and thank you for the establishment of the church and of fellowship and community, Lord. We thank you for your love and affection day in and day out, Lord, your new mercies every morning. We love you and pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
That message alone is good news. That message alone right there is one of those things that we can cling to and realize that, hey, I can face tomorrow because I know that that's happened. I know that that's actually true, not only then, but now and in my life. Isn't it amazing how a fast, fun, catchy song can get stuck in our minds so easily, regardless of how lyrically challenged the song is? Anybody? Right, it's one of those things that we have all kinds of songs that are fun to listen to, fun there, and yet they can get stuck in our minds even when they're ultimately depressing songs when you stop and listen to them. I'll give you an example. So there was a guy back in the 80s, way back in the 80s, named Bruce Springsteen, a.k.a. The Boss, right? Okay, and he had a song back in 1984. Some of you may have heard it, and I hesitate at this moment to even talk about this song because I know that by doing so, most likely you will not hear another word of my sermon because you'll be humming or singing that song in your head. But here we go anyways. He had a song named Glory Days. Are you with me? Everybody's humming the song now. I've ruined it. It's all done. Listen, Glory Days. Well, what a song, but hey, it's one of those songs that... Have you ever looked up the lyrics to that song? Anybody? Out of curiosity? You're like, man, I've never heard of that song. These teenagers are like, who's Bruce Springsteen? Parents, please educate them, all right? Okay. But that song, it really is a depressing song. So basically, that song, the major gist of it is, hey, listen, these people used to be somebody, or these people used now have cruddy lives. So instead of thinking about the present, let's live in the past, in the glory days. Basically, that's the song. Doesn't that sound great? Don't you want to go and listen to it now? And the adults are like, man, I love that song. I used to hum it all the time, sing it all the time. Listen, it's one of those where glory days oftentimes is a song that really, it gets stuck in our mind, but it's one that the message is kind of a depressing one if you stop and think about it. But can I tell you that we as the church sometimes get stuck in glory days? I'll give you an example. Last week was Easter. Wasn't it awesome? Wasn't it a great day to be able to come in and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and have tons of people just fill this room and just have a phenomenal Sunday? Oftentimes what I believe can happen in Christians' lives is they celebrate that one day. Wasn't Easter great? And live in the glory days of, hey, I want a day like that. I want to live on that day. Oh, wasn't Christmas Day wonderful? I want to live in the past and experience those moments rather than say, today's the day, man, let's go. We want to look back sometimes and we glorify the past and say, those are the glory days. Let's stay there. Well, can I tell you that I think that the apostles, the disciples, quite possibly struggled with that as well. In the midst of all that they saw, in the midst of what they were able to experience, they were able to see Jesus do some amazing things and listen to his teaching. And then check this, he comes back from the dead. Can I ask you a question? Do you think that those apostles listened a little bit more closely to Jesus' message after he rose from the dead? You think that his message probably carried a little bit more weight once they saw him rise back to the life after being dead? I think so. I think that they probably were at that place where it's like, okay, now we're living it. Now Jesus is going to establish his kingdom. Now we're going to see the glory days. And then what do you think happened when all of a sudden Jesus looks at the guys and says, all right, man, it's time for me to go. Wait, whoa, time out. You just got back from the dead. What are you talking about? Go. It's only been 40 days. Where are you going? I got to go, fellas. Can you imagine what they would have experienced? How it would have been in the midst of a moment of, oh, the glory days are when he's here. What are we going to do now? He's gone. Can you imagine how they must have felt? But I want you to understand that it was in Jesus' departure that they gained a mission. It was in the midst of Jesus' departure that their mission began. Because the reality is that you cannot go on mission if you're always looking backward. If you're always living in the glory days, you'll never be able to function in the mission that God has called us to. And so we as believers need to make sure that our glory days are not in the past, but every single day that we live because of who he is and what he's done. I want you guys to take a look at Acts chapter 1. And we're going to see how these guys could possibly have experienced in a moment this idea and this thought of the glory days were in the past. Start with me in verse 1. It says this. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up. After that, he had given the commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he had said, "You heard from me, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way that you had seen him go into heaven." Can you imagine what it would have been like? Can you imagine watching Jesus? Now let's be honest, they had an excuse to sit there and be, what just happened? Guys, did that really just take place? What in the world's going on? Listen, at that moment, I believe that those men could have stopped and said, "Oh, we've experienced the glory days. It's all done. We've experienced the glory days. What are we going to do now?" But it was in the midst of Jesus leaving that they gained their mission. The mission Jesus had given them would define their entire lives and transform and change the entire world. Just look at us sitting here today. Listen, they lived out the mission. They passed on the mission to the next generation, to the next generation, and so on and so on. And here we are. You realize that we are a direct response of them being faithful to carry out this mission. But I want you to understand something. Now their mission is our mission. Now their mission has been passed on to us. It's not something that we just sit back and say, oh, they did a good job, way to go. It's one of those that we stop and say, okay, it's our mission as well. The mission that Jesus gave was not just for the apostles, but it was passed on to us in order for us to be faithful. And I like what Kent Hughes says. He says, the mission and this book of Acts shows us how we can make our lives count. Do you want your life to count? I think that every single person in this room would stop and say, when I get to the end of my life, I want to be able to look back and say, my life counted. It made an impact. It did something. Well, how is it going to happen? Whenever we're part of the mission. Whenever we say, I will be all about what God has called me to do. But in order to accomplish this mission, and let's be honest, this mission was a God-sized task that we cannot do on our own. But Jesus equips us. Just like he equipped the saints back in the day, just like he equipped the apostles in order to accomplish this mission, he equips us in the same exact way. There's three primary ways that we see in this text that he equips us. The first thing is this, he equips us with proof, right? Proof is given to embolden us for mission. Notice what he says there at the beginning of chapter 1. He says this, until the day that Jesus was taken up and after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them after suffering. How? By many proofs. Like, listen, I don't want you just to go off faith. I don't want you to create some sort of fable. I want to give you proof. And he did give proof. Matter of fact, we see it when it comes to Mary running to the tomb. What did she find? An empty grave. And then she runs into Jesus. You remember what she did? She fell down and clung to his legs and she worshiped. She worshiped him, proving that he was physically resurrected. Proof, right? We can remember how on the road of Emmaus, two disciples are walking along and Jesus showed up and he talked to them all about what Scripture had told about him. You remember what they said when he left? Did our hearts not burn within us as he was talking to us about the Scriptures? Proof. We see he appeared behind locked doors. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there? Locked doors, all of a sudden Jesus appears. Proof. He allowed them to touch his hands in his side. Proof. He ate with the disciples. Can I tell you something? A spirit doesn't eat. All right, proof. And even better than that, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know what we see? Over 500 people experience and see Jesus. Proof. Over and over and over and over again, we see proof after proof after proof. But I want you to know something about the proof that these disciples experienced. It transformed their life. It changed them completely. Proof is a powerful thing, right? Proof will prove a person innocent or guilty. Proof will come into our lives and change the trajectory of our lives because we've experienced proof. Proof allows us to do things differently every day because we see truth and proof, and it makes us different. It allows us to be able to operate in a different way. For the disciples, this took place. You realize that the disciples changed the very day that they worshiped based upon proof. Listen, the disciples used to worship on Sabbath, Saturday. Jesus rose from the dead. They said, guys, this changes everything. We're worshiping on the day that he rose from the dead. That would have been unheard of to a bunch of Jewish guys. That would have been an abomination to the Jewish religion. But they said, listen, he's risen from the dead. We're changing things. Proof also changed and transformed Peter's life. Do you remember Peter before the resurrection? Before the cross? He was scared to death of a little servant girl turning him in. Aren't you one of them? No, I'm not one of them. He was scared that he might suffer the same fate as Jesus. But what happened after the resurrection? That same Peter stood up in front of all of the Jewish leaders who had just crucified Christ, and he said, let me tell you who he is, and I don't care what you do to me. That's what proof does. Proof changes us. Proof gives us boldness. Proof moves us in a way that we can experience transformation. The proof was so convincing that the disciples were willing to die for the name of Jesus. That's proof. Have you experienced that kind of proof? That's what we're looking for. We're looking for a proof that changes us. But you realize that that proof was not just for them. That proof is for us as well. We can experience that kind of proof to the point that it changes us. It causes us to live in a completely different way. Proof that Jesus is alive from the dead, it should move us to follow him. Guys, Jesus rose from the dead. Shouldn't that change the way that we think about life in every aspect? Absolutely it should. Because it's the only thing that'll give you hope. It's the only thing that allows us to experience what we need in order to have life overall. I like what Tony Morita says. He says, while the world wouldn't need a historical Buddha to have Buddhism, it must have a historical Jesus to have Christianity, genuine Christianity. And we absolutely do. Further, if Jesus is dead, then Christianity is dead. But he's alive. Historical facts like these serve as a wonderful faith builder for Christians and as important apologetic arguments that are useful as we commend the faith to the present day. Christianity is not fictional, guys. It's a fact. It's given to us by proofs that Jesus spent 40 days over and over and over again showing the disciples, I'm real, I'm back, I'm alive. But it's also something that should be proof in our own personal lives. See, proof is not good unless it changes who we are. And we ought to have proof in our everyday lives. Proof shouldn't only embolden you or give you boldness. It should motivate you to live your faith out and for it to be real. Guys, the world needs a group of believers that have a real faith. That have a faith that says, I truly believe. I have a faith that has changed my life. I have a faith that moves me in a completely different direction. Our lives must display the inner reality of what we externally proclaim. It's one thing to say things with your mouth. It's a whole nother thing for your life to reflect that reality as you live day by day. There was a guy named David Livingstone who was a missionary in Africa, and there was a man named Sir Henry Stanley, who watched him from afar, watched this missionary, and this was the comment that he made about David Livingstone. He said, if I had only been with him a little longer, I would have been compelled to be a Christian. And he never spoke to me about it at all. You know what he's saying? I watched this man's life, and it was so different that I wanted to be like him because I saw something in him that was transformed. There's another guy by the name of George Whitfield. Maybe you've heard of him, an old preacher that was a preacher in England and Scotland. He was preaching in Edinburgh one time, and people would get up at 5 a.m. to go hear him preach. Anybody? Anybody? No? He was so powerful of a preacher, they were willing to get up. Well, as people were up and moving at 5 a.m. to go hear this man preach the word of God, there was another man named David Hume, who is fairly famous philosopher. You could probably call him an atheist. He was somebody that was very skeptical about religion, especially Christianity. And there was a conversation. A guy ran into David Hume on the way to hear George Whitfield preach. And this was the conversation. I thought that you didn't believe in the gospel. This is Hume's response. I don't, but that man does. And because he does, I want to hear it. Because it's so real to him, I want to hear it. Because there's power in how this man preaches and how this man lives his life. You realize that when we are faithful to allow the proof to transform us, people will take notice of who we are and how we live and want to know why. That's why proof is so important. It's the foundation of all that we are and who we are in Christ Jesus. Proof. You can trust the Bible. You can trust the resurrection. It happened. If it didn't happen, we're all fools to be here this morning. But it did happen. And we're here today having life based upon that proof of reality of his resurrection. Not only do we have proof, but he's given us power. He's given us power. Power is given to strengthen us for the mission. And that's what he says. He says in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Even looking back at verse 4 and on, he says, listen, you heard John said, I'll baptize you with water, but I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing thing that we have power. And what is this power? It's the Holy Spirit that's come to give us life, but not only give us life, but to live within us. The incredible thing about this power is that Jesus has given us himself. The Father, by allowing us to experience the Spirit, has given himself that we might experience joy. Jesus knew that this mission would be an incredibly difficult task. He knew that this would be a mission that's so God-sized, so outside of our realm of ability. He said, I'm going to do it through you. I'm going to give you power in order to accomplish what I've told you to go do. In essence, he's saying, I'm not going to leave you on your own. Isn't that comforting? The fact that Jesus says, I'm going to give you an impossible task, and now I'm not going to let you do it on your own, but I'm going to be with you the entire way. That's what happens when we are baptized into the Spirit. It allows the Spirit to come and experience what we can't experience on our own. This greatest gift is the fact that we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. If you look through the Old Testament, what you will see is that the Holy Spirit came upon them to make them be able to do great things, to speak for God, to accomplish great tasks. But if you look, David even prays this. David says, oh Lord, take not your Spirit from me. Why would he pray this? Because the Spirit operated differently in the Old Testament than he is in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament would come upon people, but he might leave people, okay? I.e. King Saul. He used Saul to do great things, and then he removed his Spirit. That doesn't happen to us today in the New Testament. Why? Because we are baptized into the Spirit. The difference is the Spirit comes to live within us, not merely come upon us. And the good news with that is that God is ever present with us at all times and all moments, and we have the opportunity to experience power because he is in us. And I think it's important to point out that the Spirit is not an it. Spirit is him, part of the Trinity. Therefore, it is God himself that said, I'm going to come and live within you to empower you and give you everything that you need. Therefore, the Holy Spirit coming to live within us means that God has come to make his home in you, to empower you, to give you all that you need to accomplish the mission he has called you to accomplish. There's some incredible truths for us here. Amazing truth that ought to encourage you. This means that God is always with us. Isn't that good news? God's always with us. This means that God empowers us and strengthens us. This means that we are absolutely, positively safe for all eternity. All eternity. This means that our fears can be overcome. You guys hear that one? Anybody have any fears today? This means that our fears can be overcome because the Spirit of God lives within us. We now can overcome these types of things in our life. This means, and guys, check me on this, this means that we have the ability now to become like God. We don't ever become God, but we become like God because the Spirit is in us, that throughout the years he allows us to become more and more and more like the image of Christ, and we get to reflect Jesus right here and right now. Why? Because the Spirit is in us. When we place our faith in who he is and what he has done, the baptism is the promise that God will never leave you. Isn't that good news? There's a lot of people that are fearful of that. There's people that have even prayed the same prayer that David prayed. We don't have to pray that because he's already promised us. It's the guarantee. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:13 that it is the guarantee, the stamp that God has placed upon us, the seal. God's with us. God's with us. But he says this, you will receive power. You know what that word is in the Greek? Dunamis. You know what word we get in the English out of that? Dynamite, right? Or as the TV show back from the 70s would say, dynamite. Anybody? You guys remember that one? I got a few. Come on now. I'm older than I look, okay? All right, so dynamite is one of those things that we look at and we see the picture of the explosive destruction that it can cause, but also the power that is contained within something so small. Listen, we have within us the dynamite of God, and I want you to understand something. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that's what's in you. That's what's in you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead has come to indwell you in order for you to accomplish the amazing mission that he has called you to accomplish. Not by your power, not by your strength, but by his power in you. That's what's so amazing about this power. It's God in you. So don't ever say, well, I can't speak on behalf of God. I can't do those types of things. No, you might not be able to, but the Spirit in you can. That's the kind of power that we have. But not only did he give us this ability to experience the power, not only do we have proof, but we also have purpose. Purpose is given to direct us on mission. Purpose is given to direct us on mission. But you will receive power when you, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Right? First of all, we have the ability to be a part of this mission. And really, mission without purpose doesn't do us any good whatsoever. It doesn't give us any ability to move forward. But our mission is to be witnesses. What is a witness? A witness is somebody that speaks of what they've heard, of what they've seen, and what they've experienced. The apostles were called to be witnesses. Interestingly enough, you know what English word we get from this Greek word witness? Martyr. Oh, wait a second. Time out. I'm not going there. Right? That's what most people think. I don't want to be a martyr. Anybody here want to be a martyr? Anybody? We've heard about stories when it comes to martyrs. We've seen what happens to martyrs. We've read all of the different things that took place. Fox's Book of Martyrs. You can read story after story after story of how these believers were treated. And yet they held fast. How did they hold fast? Because the power of the Holy Spirit was in them. They had the proof. They had the power. And they said, we can't help but speak of what we have seen, what we've heard, what we know. We are going to do all that we can to declare the truth of who Jesus Christ is. You know that just as the apostles were called to be witnesses, you and I are called to be witnesses. Now, I realize that this is usually the mentality amongst a lot of people that go to church is, hey, wait a second, we hired you, the pastors and the preachers, you guys on staff, you're the ones that are supposed to do that witness stuff. That's not what it says. We are all called to be witnesses. We are all called to speak powerfully the name of Jesus Christ. No believer is a mere fan, but all of us are a player. The apostles certainly led the church, but the gospel advanced largely through the words and the deeds of the unordained, uneducated people, the informal missionaries, you. Every single individual in this room has the same mission, be a witness. That means that when you're at home, you're talking about Jesus. When you're talking to your neighbor, you're talking about Jesus. When you run into somebody at the grocery store and you have an opportunity, talk about Jesus. Listen, we are called to be witnesses, not just people on staff at a church, but every individual that's a part of the church. Your mission is to be a witness, to be a martyr. What is a martyr? Luckily, we won't have to deal with death most likely when it comes to being a witness. But we might experience ridicule, scorn, or as the phrase has been coined recently, canceled. If we're going to be faithful as a witness, we speak regardless of who cancels us, regardless of who makes fun of us, regardless of what anybody says to us or about us. Why? Because it's true. And we speak truth because he deserves it, because he needs to be glorified, because he needs to be heard about. You are God's plan. Do you hear me? You are God's plan for the message of Christ to go forth. That's your mission, to be a missionary to your neighborhood, to be a witness. Now, our purpose is given direction. Luke tells us clearly through the Holy Spirit, as he's recording to the words of Christ, listen, you're to be a missionary in Jerusalem, and all of Judea and Samaria and everywhere. We look at this, and it's basically the idea of concentric circles. It's a ripple effect. You know what he's saying? Start where you're at. Start where you're at. Guys, you live in Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem. Hey, you might travel to Judea. Go to Judea. I know you normally go outside to bypass Samaria, but you're going to have to cross cultural bounds and go to people you may not like and speak to them. See, there's concentric circles here when it comes to this. Now, I realize that there's a lot of the time when it comes to missions and speaking and witnessing, people think, oh, when I go on a mission trip, I'll witness. I had a really good friend in high school who, just after graduation, got to go on a mission trip to Australia. Anybody? Let's sign up right now. Let's go check it out. Wouldn't that be fun? But he was going to go and play basketball against other students in Australia and at halftime tell people about Christ. And I'll never forget him telling me the story. He said, man, I was so excited to go beforehand. And I started telling everybody, I can't wait to go. I'm gonna go tell everybody about Jesus when I get to Australia. I'm going to go tell everybody that I see about Jesus and what he's done for me when I get down there. And he said, then my mom said, hey, Dave, you know, you'll never tell anybody about Jesus over there if you're not willing to do it right here at home. That's Jesus' message to us. Oftentimes we can get to that mentality of, hey, if I go to New York City, then I'll share Christ. But here's what I've learned. If you don't do it as a normal part of your life right here at home, you'll have a really hard time when you go somewhere else to even open your mouth to talk about Christ. Listen, we are to start right here, right now, to be witnesses with where we're at. God has placed us right where we are for a reason. He's put you right where you are. He's put you in the job that you're at, in the school you're at, doing the occupation that you are for the specific reason of reaching people that I may never meet. You realize that you guys have tons of relationships that I have no idea about. I'll never be able to talk to them about Christ. But you can, and you're called to. You're a witness. That's your mission. You'll be able to reach those that I can never reach. We are all called to be that. The ordinary people of God, equipped by the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, dedicated to the Son of God, can accomplish the mission of God. That's you accomplishing this great mission. And so what we see is we have been given and equipped with power, proof, and this idea of purpose. So lastly, what I would say is not the equipping part, but the challenge. We're to press on. We're to press on with the mission. Don't just stand there. Can you imagine what it would have been like for those apostles? Can you imagine being out there and watching Jesus, listening to Jesus? Oh my goodness, he was dead. I saw it. Now he's alive. He's teaching us. I'm in. Where'd you go, Jesus? Could have very easily come to that point of, well, we had the glory days. What are we going to do now? Very easily it could have been that case. I think that may have been what the angels might have thought the temptation was. All right, because they're right there and they're watching Jesus and he's gone. And the angels show up. You know, when I was in high school, we didn't have Amazon to be able to go and hunt for items that we wanted to order. No websites. There was no internet. And so you know what we did is we had things called catalogs. Yeah, you guys remember catalogs? Yeah. So there was one in particular catalog as an athlete that I loved to get called East Bay. Anybody remember East Bay? Yeah, I think they may still have a website. I don't know. But man, I got the catalog for East Bay. And I'd thumb through it. Oh, check out those cleats. Oh, look at those shoes. Oh, man, I wish I had that equipment. And every once in a while, they would have these different T-shirts. Matter of fact, there was a T-shirt. I was like, that's me. I'm getting that one. Okay, so I filled out the order form, stuck a check in, and I mailed it. All right, that's how we did it back then. Okay, and in comes the mail, this T-shirt. You know what the T-shirt said? On the front of it, it had a football player. All right, it captured my heart, man. I'm telling you, this football player in the front, it was, oh, that's got to have that T-shirt. And it said this. Don't just stand there. Hit someone. That's for me, man. Come on now. Because I love to be able to hit people on the football field. I'm getting that T-shirt. I got that T-shirt in the mail after sending my order form off. Man, I walked around. What's up? Going to hit you hard next time. Right? I was ready to hit somebody after I had that T-shirt. I can only imagine that as the disciples are standing there, just standing there, angels show up. Guys, don't just stand there. Hit someone. No. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Go on mission. It's time. He's given you all that you need. It's time for you to go about serving faithfully on this mission that he's called you to. You know what the idea of glory days are? The idea of glory days is that basically, listen, my best life is gone. Everything good in my life has already been lived. There's nothing more for me to do. My life's basically over. All I can do is reminisce the glory days. Guys, if that ever comes into a believer's life, you've lost your mind. The glory days for you and I are not just in heaven, but right now, right here. The reality is that we cannot just simply sit here. There's work to do beyond the resurrection. Easter's gone, but the mission has begun. So what do we do with this? Three things that I would tell you real quick. Number one, be mindful. Be mindful and realize that the mission to the disciples now rests in your hands. Be mindful that the mission of the disciples is yours now. They've passed it on. Secondly, be willing. Don't just think about the mission. Don't just think that, oh yeah, I've got this mission. Be willing. Be willing and be ready. And lastly, be intentional. Look for ways that you can be involved in the mission. It may be prayer walking. It may be willing to open your mouth at the grocery store when you meet somebody. It may be going on a mission trip. It may be going next door to your neighbor and saying, can I tell you about Jesus? Are you willing? I mentioned to you David Livingston, and I'm going to end with a prayer that he mentioned and even prayed years ago, wrote down David Livingston. Amazingly enough, this guy, David Livingston, had walked, okay, remove the idea of cars from your mind, walked over 29,000 miles declaring the message of Jesus. He lost his wife early in his ministry, and he prayed this, Lord, send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. Sever any ties but the tie that binds me to your service and to your heart. That's Acts 1:1-11. Y'all, you have the mission. But here's the reality. You can't be a part of the mission if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, who he is and what he's done. If you've never received the forgiveness of Christ, you're not on mission. You don't know him. There may be people in this room that have been a part of this church but have never joined. Guys, listen, the best way to be a part of the mission is to say, I'm going to make the commitment to make it official that I'm here. I'm a church member. I am a part of this family. It may be this morning that in hearing this, you may need to just come down and pray, Lord, help me to be faithful in this mission that you've provided me. I want to ask you all to bow your heads and close your eyes. Just a moment, we're going to have a very brief invitation, but we're going to have our ministers up front. If you need to pray, if you need to come and join, if you need to even just ask about what it is to experience life in Christ for the first time, I'm going to challenge you to come forward so that you can be a part of the greatest glory days ever right here, right now because of the mission of God. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you've placed in our hands something that we can't do on our own, that we have to depend upon you for. I pray, Father, that you would empower us, enable us, and help us to be able to walk in your power so that we can accomplish your mission and find the exhilaration and the joy from obeying you and having you work through us. Lord, if there's anybody here today that has never experienced life in you, I ask that you would draw them. We know that they'll never come to you unless you draw them. So, Lord, we pray that you would draw them to yourself in this moment where they would feel the tugging of your spirit saying, come, you need Jesus. Lord, would you help them to see that and be willing to say, I want him more than anything else. Lord, I pray that you would call people who have not made a commitment to be a part of this family to say, I'm ready to go. I want to be a part of this family. Whatever it is, Lord, would you work in the midst of people's hearts this morning? We ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. Would y'all stand up? We're going to have a time of invitation. If you need to come, guys, come on. There's no shame. Come on and pray with somebody. Come down if you need to talk to somebody about Christ. Don't hesitate.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the my heart, I wanna see you. I wanna see you. To see you, I'm lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I wanna see you. And I wanna see you.
Y'all can take a seat. I want to remind you and challenge you, whenever we leave the doors of this auditorium, we're going on mission. That's what Christ has given us beyond the resurrection. Check out and see what's going on in the church this week.
Hey, PCBC, this is Connection Points. Last Sunday was an amazing Resurrection Sunday, and we had so many guests and new visitors with us. And if that was you, we'd love for you to know more about PCBC. We will be having our Discover PCBC class on April 10th at 6 o'clock in room 142. This class is going to dive into who we are, what we believe, and where we're going. Next, for our college and young adults, we will be having our Nexus Worship Night on April 16th. Service time will be 7 o'clock, and afterwards we'll be having dessert and snacks. Ladies, this year our women's ministry has decided to bring the Oklahoma Baptist Women's Conference here to our campus. This one-day conference titled Take Heart will be happening on May 4th starting at 9 a.m. This year's theme is Ebenezer, which means stone of help. We will be diving into the fact that God is our rock, past, present, and future. If you're interested in connecting and growing with women in our church, please register at pcbc.tv/events. The cost for the conference is $35 before April 15th, and after that, it's $40. Church family, if you have questions about any of these events, or guests, if you just want more information about PCBC, we'd love for you to stop by our Connection Corner located in the lobby. As always, we want to celebrate the new members joining our community. This week's new members are Stephen and Cheryl Tolson. We want to remind you that you can drop off tithes and offerings in the offering stations located in the lobby, or you can give online or through the PCBC app. Thank you for joining us today. If you're a guest, we'd love to see you this Wednesday at Discover PCBC. Have a great week.
All right, that's it for the day. We're going to get to go live out our mission as soon as you get off your Ebenezer and go do it in Jesus' name right now. All right, get up. You are dismissed. God bless.